the Direct Quarter 8th meeting of the Law, Rule, and Government Services Committee to order. Sir.
Chair Kovacs.
Here.
Deputy Chair Lemieux.
Here.
Legislator Gabeck.
Present.
Legislator Nanset. Here. Legislator Harmon.
Present.
Legislator Kitchen. And Legislator Ushita. And Chair Criswell.
Here.
You have 6 members present to act.
Thank you. Please stand and pledge allegiance.
By the United States of America and to the Republic of the Sin, that makes it our blood to be visible in the name of God.
Thank you. Okay. Approval of the October 10, 2024 meeting minutes.
So moved.
So moved. Is there a second?
No second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? See you on. Minutes approved. Well, first of all, it's great to be here in the town of Woodstock. I appreciate hospitality of the town, and I want to thank the staff for getting everything up and running, and really appreciate that for this committee. Number one on the agenda, we had 2 weeks ago discussions with various department heads regarding the 2025 budget for the departments and the 2025-30 capital program. Tonight we have Commissioner Joe McDonald from the University of Smithton. Thank you for coming here, Commissioner. And just give us a brief overview of the amount for your budget for 2025.
Of course. Not a lot changed as far as asks from 2024 to 2025. Most of the numbers that I moved around were geared towards some training and travel and conferences and summits that we're raising to go for this year, expect to do next year. Some of the other monies that I had moved around that we haven't used in the last few years, so I was able to take some funds away from those and for things like materials for doing more outreach. One of the things we do, including my commissioners, my board members, is more outreach. When my commissioners show up to events, which nobody knows who they are. So I'm trying to get polo shirts, behind the board table, cloth, or materials, you know, things that cost money. So I move money in that direction. As well as a couple of summits that I went to share that cost money that were overnight stays down the city. Up in Albany. One of the new additions in the budget for 2025, the executive's ask was $46,000. It's going to be earmarked for restorative justice. So we had did a restorative justice program in the school system. It was a 3-year program. It's my understanding 3 schools were involved in the restorative justice program. We had contracted with the family Woodstock to implement restorative justice coordinator in school. It was determined over time that having one coordinator reporting to schools was just too much. The encouragement went from the schools to implement some type of restorative justice point into their own school budget. But one of the things that we left on, we had promised the school district, is an evaluation of the program and how effective it was in moving forward, how it would be beneficial to the school district and the county. And that's what the money's were added to the budget for it.
I was going to ask you, there's $46,000 in miscellaneous contractual expenses in your budget. That is for the restorative justice program?
That's for the restorative justice program.
Did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget?
The only request I remember making, and now that I'm still figuring out the, you don't know until you know, which you ask, but my department needs a vehicle, so I don't understand. It's not a budget thing. It's I've got to go through the fleet department and ask for that. But my department needs to be a victim. Other than that, no.
Okay. Any questions from committee members? Mr. Hanson.
Can you speak about professional services hearing officer?
Yes. So one of the things that our department has is money that's been earmarked for a bunch of years. We have, it's my understanding that the county, our county attorney's department is just trying to get themselves up and going as far as having enough attorneys to run the county. A hearing officer is something that we're able to use if we need to go to court over certain complaints. We just have not been able to, we don't want to need one and not have the money to have one. So that's why the money stays there. We're hoping to build on that this year and implement hearing officers. It's tough to get hearing officers, it's my understanding, because it's really, you know, attorneys waiting around to be called by us to help in various complaint issues. We just haven't been allowed to get, but it's something I really want. So I don't want to get rid of it.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none. Commissioner, thank you for your time.
Oh,
we appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, resolution number 553, adopting proposed local law number 9 of 2024, a local law providing real property tax exemption of the county portion of the real property taxation and special ad valorem levies to the creation of new accessory dwelling units in accordance with New York State real property tax law, section 421B.
Motion to adopt.
Motion to adopt. Well, there's a motion on the floor.
That's what I went to.
Legislator, would you consider withdrawing your motion for a moment?
Sure.
I understand from Director Doyle that he is requesting this committee to postpone this for 1 month because there is a, they would like to amend the law to exclude short-term rentals as being eligible for the exemption. So that is a request of the planning director. Any discussion?
I'll make the motion.
Motion to postpone?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Resolution is postponed. Resolution 555, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 12 of 2024, a local law amending Article 2 of the Administrative Code for the County of Ulster in relation to certain employment restrictions to be held on December 17th at 6.05 p.m. Sponsored by Legislators Maloney and Stewart. I see Legislator Stewart here.
Sir, would you like to make any comments? Certainly. Thank you, Chair.
Would you mind just coming to the podium?
Sure.
Thank you.
I signed on to this resolution that was originally sponsored by Legislative Malone, mainly over the situation involving the recent appointment of the commission. And not that I have a problem with the person who's named as Commissioner at all. I had an issue with the optics and the process involved therein. In a situation in which perception and optics often are perceived as reality, I think it's important for people who believe in government and the positive work that government can do to rid ourselves of any appearance of cronyism and kind of self-esteem. Legislator Maloney and I thought that it might be wise to put a 2-year limitation on someone being able to move from the legislature into a high-paying job with the council. Mainly because of the perception that so many people unfortunately have of government as being a way for legislators to line their pockets, basically. And like I said, I don't actually think that this is a huge problem in Ulster County. Back in the day, the county had not a great reputation when it comes allegations of corruption and nepotism. And I think that we have, through our change in government and through a conscious effort on the part of those at all levels of government throughout the county, have worked really hard to get over those perceptions that used to commonly be seen as a problem here. And I think, situations where a legislator can be seen as moving directly from, or for a relatively short period, moving directly from the legislature into a high-paying government, into a high-paying county position, I think, like I said, the optics are just not good. And I think if we were to ask our constituents how they feel about this situation, I think that they would agree that this is something that we should avoid. And for that reason, Legislative Maloney and I felt that putting this limitation, which is basically the term of a county legislature, it would be the best, and that's it.
Thank you. Discussion? So, let's stay on the committee. Absolutely. I'm not sure. Lesley Nolan.
Yeah, thank you. I can speak on this, and I would ask the committee to consider reflecting on resolution number 559 along with this resolution, because they will deal with the same section of the administrative code. And resolution 559 proposes to remove any restriction on the legislature accepting the position and the legislature confirming that appointment. Am I okay to talk from here, or do you want me to?
That's fine. Go ahead.
So I think that the concerns about appearance are related to the situation that, or more directly related to the situation that used to obtain when the legislature was the body that could be hiring or could be directing the hiring. Now, under the charter form of government, this provision is actually, I think, outdated because the hiring is done by a separate branch of Leinster County government. And so there is a confirmation. It is a minor function. There is no, I think there's also a tendency to conflate the moving from the legislature into the executive office with situations in government or business in which a person goes from a job to another job where they can use one job to somehow benefit a private entity in an illicit way. So, for example, go from one business to another business and share business secrets, or go from a branch of government into a lobbyist position and then use some kind of internal relationships or information to benefit a private entity. In this case, if somebody was going to be appointed to a position in the executive branch of government, they would still be serving the public in very much the same way that legislators serve the public. And so I think it would be quite reasonable for somebody who is serving the public as a legislator or in a part-time position to see an opening and an advertisement for a position and to apply to that position and to move them to serving the public in that way. We have a process for appointing somebody to fill that vacancy if that happens. But I think there, it happens very rarely. But I think the case of Eden Walters is a good one. If she had been a sitting legislator at the time that this came up, I think she should have been able to put in her application for the position and not be penalized from applying simply because he had had a desire to benefit himself by moving into the legislature. So the provision for even 1 year, I think, is upgraded given that we're no longer, you know, now that we're in a charter form of government, and to move it to 2 years, I think is really heading in the wrong direction.
Those are your comments.
I'm going to try not to repeat exactly what Mr. Nolan said, but I think this is the same points to make. The history of this is that in the past, the legislature determines who the officers were before the charter form of government. So we effectively, back in the day, hired people who ran the government. We no longer do that. We now have an executive who hires and we confirm. It's a different situation than it was when this particular existing law came into being for the one year lapse in your time gap. It's been said that moving from a county legislator to a high paying county job looks suspicious. Well, if you look at the actual reality, in this particular job, the person who moved to that high paying job took a $50,000 pay cut to take that job. So for her, it was not a high paying job. It was actually a lower paying job than the job she already had. But she took a job because she wanted to help the county. She wanted to be involved with help within the county. Because that was what she did, what she wanted to do. And she also was a legislator because she wanted to help the county and support the county. So it's saying to someone, you can't support the county because you're elected as an officer in the executive office. Just because you support the county already seems weird to me. And I agree that I think 5.5, and I think the previous resolution this is based on, is no longer useful. I think it's outdated. And I support Prince Legislative Nolan. Well, Legislative Nolan's resolution, which I think is 5.5 million. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Please remember that this is a public hearing that we're talking about here. So I think we're going to continue. This seems like it's just a continuation of the conversation of the framework. On the very last one, that balloon said if you were elected by the people, I don't know, unless there's really dire circumstances health-wise and so forth, you should finish your term. With that said, in this case, like I said earlier, it is a public hearing, and that's what we need to look at tonight, let the public have their input on.
Any further discussion?
Well, I was thinking. With others, they were going to make the motion, but if not, I'll make the motion for the public hearing. And I echo her sentiment. This is a public hearing. And for this and for several of them tonight, I may not support the resolutions, but for the purpose of public hearing, I will vote yes.
Okay.
I'm making that motion.
Motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Opposed, seeing none. Resolutions, you set a public hearing is adopted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Resolution 556, amending the rules of order as they relate to decorum at legislative session, legislative committee meetings. So I'll point out adoption of this resolution, then the rule changes to the floor for a first reading. Sponsored by Chair Criswell. Chair, would you like to make any comments?
Yeah, I'd like to thank the people who responded to my request to amend this resolution and this local law. I think the comments were good, and I shared those with my co-sponsor, Chair Kovacs, and I think we will incorporate those. Do we have to incorporate those tonight as we move forward?
Do you,
you would need to adopt it.
Actually, we should adopt.
Okay. I just want to mention what that process was so everybody's clear on it, because there was some initial feedback that there wasn't a transparent process, and I took that to heart. So I sent a message out to all legislators and gave them 21 days to make any comments on this decorum change, and we took any comments that we got there. Then I worked with Chair Kovacs and our minority council and our majority council to craft language that reflected those requests for change. I then sent the amended version back out to the full body for another week of potential comments, and then we took whatever comments came from that time period and incorporated that into the discussion. So I just wanted to be really clear that it was a very transparent process and that I really sought as much feedback as possible. And I also, one of the key things I think also was I really wanted to be clear about the intent of this. There's been some conversation about this being somehow trying to stifle conversation or debate. And I can't say strongly enough how that is not at all the intention of this resolution and the changes of this, of our rules of decorum. I was approached by several legislators asking for tools that they could use during committee meetings as committee chairs to better manage their committee meetings. And that's what the intention was. It was never, ever about stifling debate. You all know that I openly support hearty debate from all sides of the conversation, and we'll do that always. And that was not what this was about. This was clearly about managing meetings for everybody's safety, security, and for the well-being of hearty conversation.
Thank you. I just want to add that, Chair Criswell, I appreciate the opportunity to work with you and council on these rules. I share your belief that the intent behind this is not to inhibit legitimate legislative debate. It's simply a matter of keeping our meetings run in a professional and orderly manner. Let's do an answer.
I just want to echo what Chair Criswell said, and that him and I early on went in in January had this discussion. So it wasn't something that was new. This is something that he wanted to do from the get-go. So
thank you. Further comment? Pleasure to know one.
I appreciate all this effort and the motivations that are being expressed here. I accept and endorse. And if you're going to add the amendments that were suggested, which I think are all good, I just wanted to suggest that the section one, where it says the personal reflection, it needs to take out prevent personal reflection, since you're going to replace it with discourage unrelated anecdotes. So it's just a technical getting the language right. So as it reads now, it says, under section one, combine members' remarks, confessions under discussion, and prevent personal reflections, period. And it would now read the questions under discussion and discourage unrelated anecdotes, personal musings, and rambling monologues, if you were taking these as just as presented. And similarly for the amendment suggested by legislator Gavaris for section three, I think you can just list members of the legislature, other elected officials, and the public in the first sentence of that paragraph, second. And I,
your people,
I'm encouraged and committed to either do them just as they are here or some version of these.
Thank you. May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
I thought about the personal reflection line. What if we just struck that? Would that do the same thing if we just struck the words?
Discussion?
Yeah.
That'd be better.
If we just struck that personal reflection piece, I think that's fine, because it's really what we're saying is stay on topic. That's what we're saying. And I think that it says it without going off into personal reflection in that language. So does that seem amenable to everyone?
Procedurally, I just want to say we should make a motion to adopt as amended as presented, and then go into these changes.
Sounds good.
Sorry.
Yep. That's good.
I'd like to make a motion to amend the resolution as presented before us with the suggestions that we have before us for the resolution.
Just clarifying, we're going to motion to adopt as amended, as presented, and then if that's adopted, we'll go through these changes.
So, okay.
Second that.
All in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none. Okay.
As it's amended.
Is there a motion to amend the resolution as reflected in the suggestions that we just discussed?
Mm-hmm. And I'll second.
Okay. Do you have that?
It's simply to strike and prevent personal reflection.
We're going to strike personal reflection.
Strike personal reflections.
And prevent.
And
correct.
So for the period after the discussion.
Yep.
All right. There's a motion.
And do you get a number three, section three and 7B2 as well all together, or are you all separate?
That's up to the committee.
I think we could do it all together. Does that work?
I see Legislator Stewart who is.
Yes.
I mean,
I was just wondering.
Yes.
The amended sentence.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know.
I can do it.
Yes.
And I can also bring him resolutions.
The clerk can read that amended sentence.
Sure. Section, that's amending section one, and the sentence would now read, in debate, comma, they shall confine members' remarks to the question under discussion, period.
So that's section one, and we're also including this motion, the revisions to section three and 7B.
Does that work?
Correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
We're adopting these.
Any, yes.
Under Legislator Guevara's suggestions.
Yes. Three and 7B. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed, seeing none. Resolution.
So now I have two sets of amendments.
Yes.
We can adopt the thing as amended.
Okay, we need a motion to adopt the resolution as amended.
Mr. Chairman, I motion to adopt the resolution as amended.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed, seeing none. Resolution 556 is adopted. Resolution 559, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 13 of 2024, a local law amending Article 2 Administrative Code, County of Ulster, to remove certain employment restrictions. We have on December 17th, 2024, at 6:10 p.m. This is introduced by Legislator Nolan and would remove future employment restrictions of former legislators. Is there a motion to adopt?
Make a motion. Oops,
okay.
For the public hearing.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Okay.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Seeing none. Resolution is adopted. Resolution 597, establishing a policy requiring minimum staffing levels of the Ulster County Board of Elections. So I have been working on this with Deputy Chair Levine. This is simply stating we've been working with our Board of Election Commissioners. This is replacing a previous resolution that we decided to withdraw. This would simply establish a policy requiring minimum staffing levels at the Ulster County Board of Elections. Staffing would be dependent on the number of registered voters in Ulster County. So there'd be X number of employees per, I think, 20,000 registered voters. And this is a policy, not a law. Obviously, it can be changed by the legislature with their budget. The budget is, of course, a resolution. Any questions? Chair.
I have two concerns about this one. One is that I know that this is currently going through state process and has not been approved.
Mm-hmm.
The state, so I feel like we're a little ahead of where we need to be on this. I'd prefer we wait to see what the state does on this and follow suit if needed. And then the other thing is I'm concerned that this is going to create some sort of precedent for other departments to create some sort of staffing system that's outside of our typical budget process. Because no other department has this opportunity to make that decision. And so those two things make me nervous about this.
You know, I will say in response to your first point, Chair, that I think our commissioners are very out in front. I think we're fortunate to have two commissioners who take their jobs very seriously, and their meetings that I've had with them and the deputy chair. I think they're very progressive in this way of looking at their job, and I think they're trying to really establish the curve in terms of having the requisite number of employees. You know, we can argue about whether it's 20,000 or 15,000 or 30,000 is the right number, but they're trying to, I think, get ahead of the curve and establish that, you know, without their work, you know, none of us would be here. And, you know, democracy is an important issue today. And with that, I'm going to, Leslie Levine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just in response to your comments, I should wholeheartedly agree with. I think that there was a real world example of issues of staffing at Board of Elections in Onondaga County this year in this election cycle. They had a significant issue with processing new voter registration applications. It was an issue that the state Board of Elections needed to step in to send staff from Albany to Syracuse in order to make sure that these people would be the people that had filed new voter registration applications, that they would be on the rolls in time to vote in the November election. The staffing level at the Onondaga Board of Elections was not enough to handle the glut of applications that they received. And I think that a resolution that we have before us would ensure that a problem like that is not going to happen again, where you're going to need the state to literally send emergency help to a county board of elections to make sure that voters' rights to exercise their franchise are protected. So I think we're just making sure that we're going to be in a position that unforeseen circumstances like that are not going to occur in Ulster County. And I'm hopeful that the state will eventually, hopefully in the coming, the coming legislative session this January, will pass this. But I see no reason why there's any problem whatsoever with us getting ahead of the game on this to prevent something like the issue that happened in Onondaga County. So,
what's your thoughts?
I understand that the state is looking at the resolution similar to statewide. It's been looking at that for a number of years. I don't have any faith it's going to be passed in the next few years. It could or couldn't be done now. I think that we need to do this for our Board of Elections. I think we have one of the best Board of Elections in the state. That has been said to me many, many times. I've experienced it myself many times, how effective they are. The work that they have to do is compounding every single cycle.
Mm-hmm.
We now have three ways people can vote. We have three ways people can register. We have multiple ways people can exercise their vote. And that makes it more complicated, more difficult, and more of a challenge to work through all of the different ways. So I do support this. I do believe it's the right thing to do. I'm happy it took away the deadline that would make the previous resolution that I was against have to be done by a certain time period because it's not in the budget period. This does not do that. This basically sets a target unless the executive put it in the budget period because it comes in the manual. So I'm looking forward to this.
That's your heart.
I was just going to ask if there are, you know, if we can come up with ways to address the concern of the precedent setting while honoring the very good work that our Board of Elections does, because what I'm hearing and my concern is the same. It's about the precedent. It's not about increasing the staffing for the Board of Elections. I'm all for that. So how do we make sure that we have not caused a problem at the same time as we're solving?
Yeah, I actually wanted to address that and get my comments. I think there's a couple of things that distinguish the Board of Elections. first you have to hire two people for every one person, which is the only place where that happens. So they're separate. And second, there's an inherent cap. This resolution would address the 20,000 new voters beyond 40,000. We have 180,000 people in the county. They're not all adults. They're not all registered. So if we went to 60,000, which would be great, we would be at a third of our population being handled. It's conceivable that we might go beyond that, but I think realistically, this is really only addressing that next level up when we're doing this. And I think, as Legislator Levine said, the right that we're talking about here is a constitutionally protected right that we, as a county, have an obligation to make sure that people have access to, and the way to do it is prospectively this way. This is also a policy, and so if somebody came to us with a good argument for why we should have a policy about, if we were continuing to run a healthcare facility, or perhaps it could come up in relationship to the stabilization center, the crisis stabilization center, I think we should look at whether or not we should have staffing minimums. When the county is the one providing a service that is an essential service, it doesn't completely address it, because there might be somebody who brings a case that I haven't thought of yet, but I would be willing to pass this. And I think the advantage of Ulster County setting that example for New York State weighs against any problems we might create for ourselves by setting an example that we then have to wrestle with. We could rescind the policy if we came to think that it had been considered. But I don't think it is. I think it's actually forward-looking.
Is there a chance?
Maybe somebody can shed a little light on resolution number 606, which has to do with Board of Elections and some grant program, and how would that funding essentially fall into this or affect this or grant?
I think that's different reasons. I think that regards that the Board of Elections is receiving cover some unbudgeted expenses incurred relating to their registration from the Board of Elections. So not directly on the ball.
Any
further?
Yep. So I'd like to remind the committee, Mr. Chair, you do have mandated staffing levels within your correctional facility that has been bypassed due to the current level of the incarcerated individuals there. So to keep that in mind, as you're being mandated staff across the board, that is one facility that has the body, not maintained mandated staffing levels historically.
Thank you. And that is from the state, right? It's the state.
Correct.
Okay. Any further discussion? Yes, let's address.
So even in the previous version and in this, I still don't see where is the problem. Why is the current process of both the budgeting process and or the budget amendment process? We can amend the budget at any time. I've yet to see the problem that this is trying to resolve. I can't see it. I understand they do a great job, and I've heard all the positives. It's fine. The precedent, potential precedent setting, and other, even ones that we're not even thinking about, where this could extend into a problem, to me, it's just not worth it. It's not worth the risk.
Is there a loss?
I think one of the issues is that the Board of Election is subject to rules that the state puts on them, subject to changes they can make on the work that they have to do. And that change has been escalating the last 4 or 5 years. And the work that they do is increasing and changing every single year. So this year we have a vote by mail, which is fairly new to people. That process is different than the family emphasis. Last year we had, a couple years ago, the early vote stuff, which is also a huge process that changed. Those processes change, how we do elections changes, and has been changing for a number of years. And I think And that's technically a part of why there's a grant in 606 to take that into account. But I do believe that that work has become more and more to them, more beyond even what the county expected in budget process. So if you expect one thing in budget processing, the state comes along and says, you need to do this, and that becomes more people. So I think that's part of it, part of what's been going on. I do understand the concern about why can't you just budget properly for what the county believes. That is a good question.
Through the chair to Legislator Collins. So exactly my point. There's the budget process, but then there's also budget amendment. So if tomorrow the state puts out a thing saying that the Board of Elections, each one has to have an addition, you know, handle 11,000 documents, whatever it is, and the Board of Election Commissioners come to us and say, we need four more staff members to be able to accomplish this. There's nothing to stop us from putting in a resolution next month approving it, and they've got their 400 people. We can do it now.
Don't super.
I agree, but that's implementation. And that means that at the point where the Board of Elections sees the new work coming down, they have to go, and they don't know whether or not they're going to reach a legislature that's going to give them that staff. They can plan prospectively and begin looking for people and begin addressing the increased workload based on there being this policy. They, you know, still can't hire anybody until we say they can do it. But their ability to get their comfort level in going ahead and moving to address the situation would be, I would think, much higher when there's a stated policy and all we have to do is go through the budget amendment process, rather than they have to come and they have to make all the arguments and they have to convince us, they have to do the education, which has some value. They would still do some of that because this is just a policy. But I think the policy says that unless there's some very good reason that we have foreseen ahead of time, we are in fact going to make that budget amendment for them, and it's going to happen. It seems to me like this is a compromise between leaving them without any security in feeling like they'll have adequate staffing and are, you know, setting something that just automatically triggers. This is a policy. It's a statement of our intent to see two additional people for 20,000 add a reasonable request and let us know when you reach those numbers, and we will take those actions. It also addresses just the number of voters and not necessarily any new workload, requirements from the state. But if we get to those numbers of voters, which I think, you know, gives an incentive to get people registered, then they should have that staff. Seems like a straightforward policy in that respect.
Deputy County Executive.
To the point about the state regulation changing and requiring such more complex situations to work under, I just want to point out that many of our other departments, especially the Health and Human Services, Department of Social Services, Emergency Management Health, they're constantly reacting to changes at the state level and new policies that are implemented that impact their workload. And they do have to and convince us all of why they need more staff. And I would argue that when it comes to those departments that are really working on matters of life and death sometimes, they should all be, all departments should be held to the same standards when it comes to making the case for their staffing needs.
Is there further discussion? Is there a motion?
Motion to adopt the resolution.
Is there a second?
Second.
I'd ask for a roll call vote.
Legislator Gavaris?
No.
Legislator Hanset?
Yes.
Legislator Harmon?
No.
Legislator Levine?
Aye.
Chair Criswell?
No.
Chair Kovacs?
Yes.
3-3. Motion fails.
Okay. Resolution
598, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 14 of 2024, a local law amending the Code of the County of Ulster, Chapter 232, Living Wage, in relation to applicability and compensation, to be held on Tuesday, December 10th, 2024, 6 p.m., sponsored by Chair Criswell.
Chair Thomas?
Yes, this was created in response to Comptroller Gallagher's memo to me, which you probably all saw, and was actually in the paper. And the memo stated that the state is raising the minimum wage from $15 to $15.50, and that our minimum wage for county contracted workers was $15, and so that would have to be addressed. So I looked into that and had very good collaborative conversations with county executive and the finance staff. And what we decided was to actually expand beyond just contracted workers, but to all county employees, and raise that minimum. So the minimum was going from $15 to $17.70, and it was opening it up to not only contract workers, but all employees of the county.
Question, Chair. How many additional employees does this cover?
How many additional employees? What do you mean additional?
How many county employees would be affected by this?
Oh, I actually don't have that number with me. I'm sorry. Any idea, Comptroller?
No. I don't think there are, in the current schedules, very many employees making less than $70 now.
Okay. I can sort of answer that question. A majority of our summer grew in the youth employment program, those it would affect.
Yes.
And
I can get you that. I can get you that detailed number if you'd like that.
Sure. Thank you. Any further discussion? What's your thoughts?
A quick question.
Yes.
This fundraiser somehow may increase my resolution in the legislature. So this is, if this goes into being, we can change it year by year as inflation happens. That can put out more resolutions and more public things.
Correct.
Yeah.
Let's hear Stuart.
Just a quick question. I was wondering if this, that like the Climate Corps volunteers
have? Are they employees of the county?
If
they are employees of the county, it's anybody who's an employee of the county. So yes.
Are they compensated, the volunteers?
I don't think they're volunteers. I think they're employees, aren't they?
They are employees, but they're not like, I'm not quite sure exactly how. I was just curious.
I think Deputy Executive Laval can answer that question, or Deputy Executive Capone.
I'm going to call on Deputy County Executive.
They're employees.
They're employees.
Yeah, so.
Thank you.
So they would not be affected by this change since they're over. Thank you.
No, they would be.
They'd be getting 70 cents extra. They'd be getting extra $17. Oh, 17, I think.
Oh, 17.
Very good.
Thank you.
Professor Dillon, do you have comments?
Yeah, just a technical question. I think it may be a typo in Section 3. I'm reading, beginning on the effective date of this local law and continuing thereafter, compensation for all covered employees employed by covered employees shall be compensated in an amount no less than the living wage. Is that intentional? I mean, it sounds like it should just be for all covered employees.
I think it's probably all covered employees.
It sounds like that didn't vanish from the strike.
I think that's probably correct.
So,
thank you.
That can be correct.
Sure.
Thank you, Chair. I'm all for this. I just think it might be helpful for the record to articulate how this particular number was arrived at.
Yeah, we looked at right now there's conversations about our renegotiation of union contracts, and I wanted to make sure that this was not going to affect our union contract negotiations. So we tried to find a floor that was not going to affect that, but still be a reasonable enough increase that had some meaning to it.
Thank you.
I just want to clarify, I'm reading Section 3, and it says compensation for all covered employees
employed by covered employers. Mm-hmm. So I think it's
okay. Oh, employer, so it does say. Okay.
And so that means that's trying to basically say employed by the county?
No.
No.
Because the previous law applied to vendors. Remember, we did, right? So now we're putting employees of the county, so we're keeping the vendors and adding the county.
That's very clever language to capture that. Saying it's already made.
Section 2 defines covered employer. Okay. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I want to, may I add one note?
Sure.
So in the research that I did, this now puts us higher than any state in the United States, including DC, for minimum wage, for state minimum wage. That's my research. I hope I'm correct on that, but I think that that's actually correct. So
thank you. Any further discussion? Is there a motion?
I'll move to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none. Resolution 599, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 15/2024, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter and the Ulster County Administrative Code by deleting Article 44 from each and amending the Ulster County Charter and the Ulster County Administrative Code with respect to Article 43 to be held on Tuesday, December 10th at 6:05 p.m. This is sponsored by Chair Quinlan. Do you have any comments?
Sorry, let me get my head back here. This is part of the overall effort of the executive to merge some departments and make more efficient use of staffing. So this is one of two resolutions that are before us tonight that have to do with that restructuring.
Okay. Are you available for questions, Deputy County Director? Would there be any cost savings from this merging of two departments?
So the merging, so specifically with risk management, the current structure within our insurance department and our safety, we have two departments. The department head in the insurance department, that position has been reduced to a deputy position. So we no longer have a department head of insurance. When that merges underneath it, the current department head of the safety department will be the department overseeing risk management. We just have an increase in her salary there. But it's the reduction of that other department head that results in the savings. We thought the cost avoidance of these proposals in that position weren't fulfilled because we're within the safety department. And if she spoke at that, the budget hearings, that was the cost avoidance as well.
Yes, Controller Governor.
Is the department head of the combined unit getting the raise while the deputy position for the former head of insurance remaining at the same salary?
No.
Okay. Any
my next question is, what specific goals does the administration envision that this Department of Risk Management will achieve that's not being met by two separate departments?
So when we met with both departments, a lot of conversations we had in terms of the roles and responsibilities that they're both doing, we're hopeful that when we bring the safety department into the insurance department, we'll have more eyes and ears for insurance premiums. They have more of a boots on the ground approach to our safety program. As we implement our safety program, we increase our training. That should be a direct feed into our insurance premium. So they'll be working collaboratively together on the author workers' compensation program. They're both maintaining separate filings and yet maintaining their own reviews of those files.
So you anticipate the insurance premiums will decrease?
That's our hope. That as we go forward with this, that when we improve the safety programming, that our insurance premiums will see a reduction as we increase our safety programming. A lot of the work we have to do is get back to doing a lot of the safety programs and a lot of the other areas that we need to do that would reduce our overall insurance premiums.
Any further questions? Discussion? Is there a motion? A second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none. Resolution 600, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 16 of 2024, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter and Delta County Ministry of Code by renaming a remaining Article 16, from the Department of Purchasing to the Department of General Services. We held on December 10th at 6:10 p.m.
Again, this is part of the restructure
department, and it's really based on a model of efficiencies and shared services. And I can ask Deputy Executive Capuano to expand on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Chair. So the Department of General Services will be doing some of the work that we heard from the departments that has been lacking, and it's really hard and time-consuming for the smaller departments. Some of that includes vendor entering into new worlds, contract entering into new worlds. Some of the administrative ones that are small departments, they don't do it often. If you do it, it takes a lot of time and resources, right? Some of this work is currently done in our finance department. Some of that work is also being done in other departments scattered throughout. So we're looking to merge all those functions together within the Department of General Services that will really assist the departments in navigating those things that really overlap with every department. And then have really our experts in the room who can help navigate
Further discussion? Is there a motion? Question. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question to the Deputy Attorney. In regards to for this resolution and the previous one, in addition, can you speak just in general in regards to, starting with this one, about anticipated cost savings on this and how the county is going to see, you know, how you're going to be going about those cost savings.
So,
is there going to be like attrition or?
So the positions that will be moved within general service will be existing positions. Again, when we looked across the enterprise at what positions people were requesting and looking for, saw some new clerk requests, those types of requests that simply speaking, it was to do the work within the New World system that we can house and we can do it centrally here. So we do expect some of those cost savings would be more cost avoidance with the General Services Department generally. As we look to build this out, we're hopeful that we'll do more strategic planning that will really create more efficiencies over this. So we'll be doing an annual report with SNF as well going forward.
An annual report, thank you.
Yep.
The council have, let me start to
just very one purpose of the charter and the new shared code. Any reference to the Lugan department that will be amended correspondingly, and any further amendments on the material as they may be would have to be made as well as.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none. Resolution 601, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 17 of 2024, a local law applying the salary revisions pursuant to the 2025 Ulster County budget to county officers serving for fixed terms, to be held on Tuesday, December 10th at 6:15 p.m. This is sponsored by Chair Criswell.
Yes, this is...
So, if we're all aware that there are fixed terms that county officers serve, and certain positions are fixed terms, and in order to allow for a salary increase, a COLA increase, or any sort of percentage increase, we actually have to create that as a resolution and a local. We have to make it as a change to our local law, since they are under that special auspice of fixed term employees. Thank you. Any discussion? Is there a motion?
Motion to adopt.
Is there a second?
One second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Seeing none. Resolution 602, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 18 of 2024, a local law applying salary revisions for certain elected Ulster County officials serving for fixed terms, to be held on December 10th, 2024, 6:20 p.m. This is regarding salaries for legislators. This is sponsored by Leslie Collins. Do you have any comments?
Yes, I'm going to say because I know it's privileged to be here. Yeah. We shouldn't have to be ranked as privileged in order to be able to have a job of legislator. If you look at someone who would be a single parent with children, actually, when you know, if they came to meetings and have to do childcare, the childcare is more expensive than what they actually made by being with them. And the idea here is to enable more people to be able to have a lift cycle. You know, we saw in the last election, many people are uncontested, the roles are uncontested, the salary is fairly low. And if you look around the state, we are, I believe, the lowest salary legislature from the states. Their salaries are $38,000, there's one that's $74,000. I believe this is a reasonable salary increase. Again, this is a public hearing, not the actual itself.
Question for you. Did you have a chance to review the report of the Periodic Compensation Review Committee?
And I did. I looked at that report, and that didn't change the dynamics of who could be a legislator. You know, but going from 16 to 18 doesn't really change the dynamics of who can afford to be a legislator. It doesn't change the impact of someone that has to have child care when they go to the meetings. It doesn't change the impact of someone who has to work a full-time job and then come to this meeting to this. It's very difficult to work a full-time job, a real full-time job, and do this. If you look at legislators, not that many people do work a long full-time job that are legislators. Many people have jobs where they can set their own hours that are legislators. It limits the scope of who can be a legislator to a smaller pool than the county pool in general. And if you look at who is legislators, we are predominantly male, more so than the county has. We are predominantly white, more so than the common one. So that, to me, says it's a privileged class to be a legislator. I want to take a privilege away and allow it to be available for more people in the county to work less.
And if adopted, when would this law, when would this salary increase go into effect?
So this is a local law to set the maximum. There's another process to actually change the law. That's a budget amendment that would go in. And that amendment will decide what the amendment says. Amendment is not yet prepared. It's prepared tomorrow.
So it's conceivable this could go into effect for January 1st.
It could conceivably go into effect January 1st.
Liz or Nolan?
Yeah, I think that if this were to go forward, I would prefer it to go into effect following at least a full election cycle so that any change. So that if it goes in this way, that it would change for a group of legislators to be elected in the following term, so that we're not changing the salary that we're receiving. Second, I am troubled by the fact that there is privilege that is necessary, I think, to serve as a legislator, but I'm also troubled by the notion that legislators would become a professional call in Ulster County. I think that we have been served very well by people stepping forward who do not depend upon this salary for their paying their rent and their utilities. At the salary levels you're proposing for all the members of the legislature, I think you could have people who would see it as that, and yet you have to run for election every 2 years. Or even if we change that to some larger interval. So I would be much happier supporting an increase in salary for the chair and for the majority of your minority chair, where I think those do come to require full-time attention. I think that most legislators do serve in a part-time way, and some very part-time. Even some very well like legislators from districts that return again and again, I think are able to put in a part-time a number of hours and feel satisfied themselves and have their constituency satisfied. Others work longer. I think this is a bad time for us to propose this for the legislature when we haven't received the results of the long for salary study. I would much rather have a budget available to address the salary study and pay other members of the county what the salary study indicates they deserve before considering
well, the members of the legislative body deserve. This is for a public hearing, and so it's really hard for me to argue against letting the public weigh in, but I don't like going to the public with this question right now. I feel like it's just been a hard year, and to go to the public and say, we elected people need more money, I plead that we not do this now. If it's such a good deal now, then of course, it's a public hearing, we'll get to hear what the public says, but I'm not here to hear what the public will think of this because I have had an idea of what my students would say about this. And I won't yell at that. So I think we should balance the need to have more representative body and maybe look for some creative ways to make that more easily possible rather than just going to a salary provision.
Good, Olivia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question for councils. I've been trying to get a definitive answer on this. I'm hoping that you might be able to provide this. In regards to, I know explicitly on the federal level, and I'm 99.9% positive on the state level for the state legislature, that there's prohibitions on incumbent legislatures voting on salary increases during that term of office. So like on the federal level, I think it's the 27th Amendment to the Constitution that prohibits Congress from increasing their salary until after the next Congress takes office. And I believe it's on the state level as well. There's a prohibition on that. Do we know if there's prohibitions either in state law or in the charter that will restrict us from passing a salary increase until after the next legislature is elected and takes office?
I'm unaware of any prohibition. I believe the municipal hall makes such an increase, but I'm happy to do it in the diet. It is fun to speak, but I'm unaware of it.
That would be appreciated. Thank you.
Any further? Those are the answers.
Was the salaries of the legislatures in the salary study?
No.
Anything further? Is there a motion?
I'll move for a public hearing.
Your second?
Second.
Okay. Let's do a roll call.
Legislator Barris.
For public hearing, yes.
Legislator Hanson.
No.
Legislator Harmon.
Yes.
Legislator Levine.
Aye.
Chair Criswell.
Yes.
Chair Kovacs.
No.
Motion is adopted 4-2.
Resolution 603, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $50,000 entered into by the county with the law firm of Romer, Wallins, Gold, and Minot. They're the labor attorneys for Alter County.
Mm-hmm. Is there a motion? Motion to adopt. Second?
Yes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none.
Resolution is adopted. Resolution 604, authorizing the chair of the Alter County Legislature to enter into a funding agreement in the amount of $155,351 under the electronic poll book grant program with the New York State Board of Elections and Alter County Board of Elections. Is there a motion?
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Second.
Any further discussion? Let's do the thing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a brief statement. Having spoken to a number of constituents and staff at Board of Elections, I just want to say, these electronic poll books have really been a godsend to a lot of folks in terms of streamlining the process of getting folks to the poll, who showed up to the polls to get them signed in and get them on their way to being able to cast their ballot. It's definitely, again, made the process a lot easier, and I think it's something that we need to continue to make sure is going to be, make sure that our equipment is in working order and continuing to make sure that we're going to be, having the equipment be replaced on a regular schedule. It's critical equipment, and I think it's done a fantastic job. And so, fully supportive of this resolution. So,
any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none.
Resolution 605, authorizing the chair of the Elk County Legislature to enter into a funding agreement of $83,089 under the ballot by mail grant program with the New York State Board of Elections, Elk County Board of Elections.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none. Resolution 606, authorizing the chair of the Elk County Legislature to enter into a funding agreement $55,216 under the 2024 general election grant program with the New York State Board of Elections. Is there a motion?
Motion to adopt.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none. Late resolution 614, amending the 2024 Elk County budget to accept allocation of rental assistance program funds from the New York State Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance Department of Social Services. This was introduced by Chair Criswell at the request of the Department of Social Services and amends the budget to receive, to accept $330,000 in OTDA funding to support family center case management services.
Just a quick question either to Chair Criswell or to one of the deputy county executives, just in regards to the rationale, what lies while we're getting this as a late resolution?
Deputy Secretary of the Country. Yeah.
Thank you. So, this is funding that just received August 24th. Basically, the state told us we need approval from the state. In August or so, we got a memo that went to all commissioners of social services across the state saying that we were going to be receiving funding specifically for families from their temporary assistance for the advanced programs. So what it is each locality is eligible for funding for between one and seven steps to help families who are eligible for TANF, whether they're in emergency housing or receiving assistance outside of emergency housing. So when we saw the LPM, we saw that it actually overlapped a lot with the plan that we had for our housing assistance unit within DSS in terms of what responsibilities were and involved users. So we came up with a plan very quickly to allocate the funding to nonprofits who were thankfully able to take the bond rent. And so this resolution here allows us to accept the funding and then the next to go along with it and have these basically have the money to family Woodstock and have the money to grow. So the idea is that family Woodstock will be providing on-site support services to the families that are safe and teaching most child. And Tosco can be co-located with our DSS and provide support services to other families who aren't necessarily in emergency housing or who may be placed in other hotels that are not emergency hotels. So the reason we asked for the resolution is if we're able to get this passed now, we can actually start the services in December as opposed to starting them in September.
Chair, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So one of the questions that I asked when I got this late resolution was, are these services going to service the entire county? Because I know that that's been a concern that some of our funding is Kingston focused, and the deputy executive assured me that that was in fact the case.
Thank you. Any further discussion on this motion?
I'm sorry, Legislator Hanson.
At the Kingston Motel, is there currently case managers there from DFS?
So there are, but they used to be there every day, generally. And then we reduced it to once a week because they weren't getting as much, actually, people coming to ask them questions, and there was a backlog of folks that they had to help at DFS. So they're there once a week. This allows to have people there all day during those hours every day.
And will there be a review to see if how much they're being utilized, and if not, to place them elsewhere?
Yes, definitely. And the difference, too, is that the DSS staff that we had there before were social welfare examiners, so they weren't actually caseworkers. They were eligibility determination, so they could take questions and see if folks were eligible for services, but they're not actual caseworkers who are trained to provide like de-escalation and other support in a moment.
Any further discussion? Motion? Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none. Resolution 615, approve the execution of a contract of $171,297 entered into by the county with family of Woodstock. So $171,002 to buy two family center case managers to be placed in the Kingston Hotel on a full-time basis, November 24 to June 25. I was going to suggest we block 615 and 616, unless you have any objection to that.
No objection. Is there a motion?
Second. All in favor on motion block?
Aye.
Opposing none. All right, so this is 615 and 616 together. Any further discussion?
I'll move to that.
Let's do that. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposing none. Okay.
You'll see forthcoming resolutions number 470. This resolution, there's no action taken in the Energy and Environment Committee. You know the business? Do you have any good business before this committee? Council.
Sorry about that, Mr. Chair. I just want to follow up on prior comments.
So there's no prohibition on changing our salary, but over the term. Thank you, Council. Appreciate that. Any further business coming before this committee? Seeing none. Is there a motion to adjourn? Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Closing none. Thank you very much.
Ways and means 5 minutes. We're going to move to the back room, and public chairman will also be in the back room.
In the bathroom.
The bathroom and the back room.
Yeah. Or the store or that door.
Now, with our new decor rules, you're not allowed to say anything. You're not allowed to do them.
Size and the rear plate. Thank you.